This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Good morning, my man. How you feeling?
Doing good, oh. How are you?
Excellent. Cannot complain. Although I will say a little bit of a sad day today.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Twitter, and like I always on Twitter, pretty much, answering and going back and forth with folks and ripping idiots. And then I run into Susan Miller Degnan's retirement post that today was her first. I didn't even know she was leaving the Herald.
Yeah.
And so today, I guess she didn't want to announce anything. She just like kind of announced, "Hey, I'm done. I'm free now. I'm out of here."
Yep.
After 4,000 years and 4 billion articles, you know, I don't have to, you know, chase around these punks anymore, and I'm retiring. No, seriously. One of the golden people in our business, one of the best human beings you will ever meet. Just a salt. When you say salt of the earth person.
Yeah.
That's just Susan, dude. Susan is just, she's a goddess. And kind of a sad day. You know what I'm saying? A little sad, bro. She's real South Florida flavor. You know what I'm saying? So it sucks.
No question. The fans didn't know that, you know, she lives in Deerfield Beach. So she would drive from Deerfield Beach every morning to get down to Miami, over an hour and a half to get down there. And, you know, she's at this close to 40 years for the Herald. I worked with her for a very long time. One of my best friends on the beat, and just, you know, so many steak dinners together, me and the other writers and her, and being in different cities. And I know some fans got annoyed by her sometimes. They would complain on YouTube and say, "Man, Susan, why are you asking that question?" You know, and they'd get angry with her. But she was as old school a journalist as you will ever come across, and, you know, taught me so many great things. And you're right, I am sad. She did have a retirement party a couple weekends ago. Oh, we kept it on the DL because she didn't want anybody really knowing. She didn't want to go out, you know, with a bunch of fanfare and a tour. So
I get it.
But super sweet lady. It was great. Everybody from the Herald went. Greg Cody gave a speech. George Rojas, who was a longtime editor, who's with me now at The Athletic, gave a speech. And Michelle Kaufman and Dave Barry, threw the party for her, and it was great. It was a great moment. So many great people were there, and wish nothing but happiness for Susan, because she's a grandma now, and her kids live on the other side of the country. They live in Portland, Oregon, so she's gonna be flying across the country to go spend time with them now, and has the freedom to do it.
Get a raincoat, Susan. You need it. You're going to Portland. It rains a bit over there.
Yeah,
but anyway, so you know. Happy retirement to her. Well deserved, dude. She more than paid her dues. She had to use that Orange Bowl elevator enough that alone, okay, anybody that was subjected to the Orange Bowl elevator on a consistent basis, like
people,
you
don't know,
that alone right there, you deserve millions of dollars just having to deal with that alone. Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow, that place was a shithole. But hey, we miss it. I know we miss it, but it was a shithole.
It was our shithole.
Working at that place was, oh my God, that was just not. So that woman deserves gold watch, a gold car,
something.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw that today, and I go, man, I'm glad I'm having Manny on. We could talk a little to Susan because she's such a good person.
Players loved her, by the way. The players loved her, like Santana Moss, and they would see her all these years later and be like, "Susan, we love you." You know, it was just like,
because she didn't have a mean bone in her body, dude.
Right.
They realized after, or maybe in the middle, they might have been frustrated or something, but she just did her job.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have an agenda ever doing her job, and I think that's what people then realize right away. She's like you said, as old school as it gets. You know what I mean? And so she's not carrying a grudge. She's not trying to, she's not picking a side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got like a source on one side of the whatever. And so you tend to kind of defend that side more than the other, you know, that kind of stuff. So nothing, you know, she's just, so I could see that, bro. I can see that. So good people there. All right. So talk to me. What's the buzz coming out of practice?
Well, I mean, obviously it wrapped up on Saturday, and Cam Ward, I thought, looked really, really good. Showed you everything that this season's going to be about. And it's him making plays, improvising, you know, tucking and running when he has to tuck and run, extending plays. You know, they feel good about their passing game. They feel good about their offense. They want to get him some more weapons now here as the transfer portal opens. But
that's what I was going to ask you. Does he have the complimentary receivers?
Yeah.
To do what he needs to do. That's the thing.
Well, I think he's got one of the best slot receivers in college football in Xavier Restrepo, who just knows how to get open in space. I think he's got two solid outside receivers in Jacoby George and Isaiah Horton, two guys that can certainly do the job right at this level, even if they're not, you know, future first round picks. I think they're solid college receivers. And then you got some really good young guys in JoJo Trader and Nye Carr, who I think, you know, are a step up in terms of level of talent that are sort of backing up. So they have a lot of wide receiver depth, but I think if they can go out and get a true number one, a guy that can stretch the field, a guy like a Keon Coleman that Florida State was able to get last year. If one of those guys comes available, I think Miami's going to make the push there. But I think the bigger priority is the backfield. I know we've talked a lot about Mark Fletcher in the offseason. At times I was told, you know, he's going to be okay and he's going to come back. And Mario said he's going to be back in the summer. But I think there's a lot of apprehension there whether or not he's going to fully recover and be 100% for the whole season or just come back and play sort of injured. And I think that's the concern. And so I think Miami is hot and heavy on Damian Martinez, the running back from Oregon State. I think the moment he officially puts his name in the transfer portal, Miami will probably be one of his destinations, one of the schools that he looks at. 1,000-yard back, really good back at Oregon State the last 2 years, and a guy that's pretty much a one-year rental. I think most people expect him, wherever he ends up, to come in, do a great job, and go pro. So I think Miami's just in a position, though, and you look at the rest of the ACC, there's no dominant team. Florida State's obviously taking a step back. They lost a lot of guys. You know, Clemson is down compared to what it used to be. You look at the ACC and you say, man, if Miami's got the best quarterback in the conference with Cam Ward, and they've got a really good defensive line with guys like Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezidor and all that, maybe they can win the league this year. Maybe they can get to the college football playoff. And I think that's the way the thinking is around Coral Gables right now. It's we gotta try to go out and make this the best possible team we can for this season and give this season a shot to
Do they have the coach?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a question, right? Is Mario going to get in the way? Is Shannon Dawson going to call the right plays and the right kind of offense? Those are all things you worry about, right, with Miami. But I think
I worry a lot about Mario. I need to see Mario, as I've told you before, from the second I hired him, what he did at Oregon wasn't good enough.
Right, and that's the thing with Mario. There's games where his team will step up and they'll pull off a big win at Ohio State, and then they'll lose, you know, to Stanford or somebody like that, and you're just shaking your head. And that's
beat by Utah twice in a year on your way out. You know, if you're Oregon, you cannot lose to Utah, and Utah's good, but you can't lose to them twice in a year. You can't, bro.
Right.
Oregon, Stanford, Utah, USC. You know, those teams should be like badasses with the resources you have, the recruiting that's out west, all that shit. Henning did a really good job at Oregon. So, you know, I'm just saying, I still don't know if Mario's the guy at an elite level. I know he does all the fundamental stuff.
Right.
I need to see him outcoach the guy on the other side constantly.
Yeah, and I don't know that we'll ever get to that point. You know, I don't know that other guys like Mario always get to that point either. Like Butch Davis, was he really a tremendous tactician?
No, or just terrible.
Just a great D-line coach and recruiter. Recruiter. I mean, recruiter. Mario is essentially the opposite, right? A great offensive line coach and a ridiculous recruiter. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, maybe that's sort of the path here at Miami. Maybe at some point, You know, he builds the talent up the way Butch did, and somebody else comes in and wins the national championship. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case.
Match wits, because you're going to get to a point where, okay, now you have enough talent to compete with them.
Right.
So now, if you're going to beat Kirby, you got to beat him here, bro.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's where I'm not sure. It's like, right. I look at Mike McDaniel and I look at Mario Cristobal, and I kind of see the same issues. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, dude, I need you to become a better game day coach. I understand systematically. I understand what you want to do, Mario, and I'm good with that. I know you want to run. Running is good. You can live off of that and the passing game and all that, but then I need you to take chances when you're there. Mike McDaniel, I know you got a great offensive mind, but my brother, you mismanage a game all throughout.
Right.
So, like, to me, it's, I don't worry so much about the draft or the recruiting or this guy or that coach or that assistant coach or this talent. I really worry about the two head coaches first and foremost of these two football teams.
Well, you're right. And I think obviously the NFL is different kind of hurdles with the salary cap and all that kind of stuff. And look, NIL, it's this untamed beast right now. We don't know where it's going to go. We don't know if ultimately you got to be in the SEC or Big Ten to survive and to really be a contender. Like, all that is going to play out here in the next couple of years. But I will say this. I think from a talent accumulation standpoint, Mario is one of the best in college football. And I think if he can find the right coordinators, and I think he's got that guy on defense right now. I think Lance Guidry is a very, very, very good D coordinator. Then they and you have a special quarterback like Cam Ward. Maybe you overcome some stupid decisions and some bad game plans, and you're able to win the thing. And so I'm not picking Miami to win a national title this year. I'm not, but I would not be surprised though if they won the conference and got to the college football playoff, because I think Cam Ward is that kind of talent. And I think you look at the history of the ACC. Last year, Jordan Travis was the best quarterback in the league. He was. He performed the most consistently. Drake May, talent-wise, was maybe more talented than him, but Jordan Travis and his receivers, that's what won the ACC. Florida State's defense was good, very good, but not elite. Not like, oh, my God, this is the greatest defense I've ever seen. So I think Miami in a lot of ways is similar to that. I think, you know, picking some guys up in the secondary will be important in the portal window here. To help solidify it. But I think with Cam Ward and some of the weapons they have on offense, there's a chance they can win the league this year.
My pro coach doesn't know what down it is in a playoff game. And my college coach doesn't know when to take a knee. So I got issues here. I
totally get it, brother. I totally get it. And it's a fair criticism of both. I think it's a fair criticism of both. And I'll say this. I think Miami's football schedule this year, the Hurricanes, is very winnable. The Dolphins, of course, you know, you're playing.
It's a pro schedule.
It's a pro schedule. It's totally different. So it's
a pain in the ass every week.
Yep.
No matter who you play in the pros, dude. That's just kind of the way it is.
Yep.
Anything else on the news front for the Canes?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to have guys entering the portal today. They got to get down there. I have them at 89 scholarships right now with everybody that is supposed to be coming in here in the summer. They're four over right now. And I'm not entirely sure if, you know, Mario's nephew, Lou Cristobal, and Jason Taylor's son, Isaiah Taylor, count against the 85 scholarship number. So really, it could be 87. It could be 89 or more, depending on which walk-ons they have on scholarship. But, I think, you know, they're going to try to get down, and I would expect them to sign somewhere to 6 to 8 guys in the transfer portal, just to add depth at key positions. And if they can, like I said, find a number one receiver, find a number one running back, those are the two priorities. And then DB depth. You need guys in the secondary that you can trust that are going to do their job. So I think those are the three main priorities. Maybe add a linebacker if you can add, another experienced guy. Maybe add another, edge rusher, D lineman type, just to add more depth. But they're going to, you know, you'll see 10 to 12 guys enter the portal today.
Can these guys play, Cristobal and Taylor's kid?
They're backups. They're just guys, you know. And look, you need those. You need some guys that are just practice guys, right? To make the ones do their job and to stay on their toes. And I think, you know, these other guys are, just rotational type, special teams, you know, those kind of type things.
Yeah. It's so tough as a kid to live up to people that, you know, already had a strong reputation and something that you're doing, you know, be Michael Jordan's kid or Ted Williams' kid or
Right.
You know, whatever. Ray Lewis's kid, Highsmith. It just, bro, following in the footsteps of, you know, your dad, Cristobal, or Jason Taylor. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, and it's funny, though, because we've seen so many of the kids go through there. Irvin's kid, you know.
Most of them fail. Most of them
because they grow up in a totally different home than their dads did. Yeah. You know, I had a high school coach tell me this once. If you want to know how hungry a kid is to make it out of a tough situation, go to their house and open up the refrigerator. He goes, I guarantee you the best players are the ones that have nothing in that refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah. People got to fight for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ken Griffey Juniors are the rarity,
right?
You know, they're the rarity that they grew up around the game and then they understood, you know, and they really got it. And they strive to be better than their dads. And that guy did actually.
Right.
You know, there's a couple of those cases, but it's sad because most of them end up failing because it's just so hard to live up to that next reputation. Mm-hmm. So you want to be an actor like your dad, and your dad's, you know, an Oscar winner and all that. And it just, brother, it just living up to that. It's almost, you're almost better off picking another profession.
Yep.
Going in another way so they never compare you again, you know?
Yep, 100%. And I think, you know, we've seen that sometimes. We've seen people go into different things and be successful as well. So, but that's the word, oh. That's the word from Miami right now. And I think, you know, the next couple of weeks will be interesting to watch. Damian Martinez, though, is the name to watch at running back for Miami.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. And catch his work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up on Friday.
Take care, man. I'll see you.
Don't forget, Caneswear. They got anything and everything practically with a Canes logo on it. Use our code BIGO10. You will get 10% off if you go in person or you go online. And by the way, for those of you that live out of town or maybe you don't live too close to Davie, you go online and you order over $99, you will get free shipping and use our code BIGO10. You will get 10% off. There you go. Save yourself a little money. Caneswear.com.